Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, all kinds of technology fighting you today in San Antonio.
Man, it's been a... I've had a day. I'm having a week. San Antonio has not been kind to me, and I love Texas, so it's been rough here. I just had a streak of bad luck, and the city is not well-positioned to host an NBA Finals.
Yeah, you're battling with the city a little bit.
We're having a little bit of a tussle, not going to lie. I mean, we need to spend some time apart, which is okay, because I think on Friday I'm going to go up to Austin and have some barbecue and go to the Alamo Draft House, because that's like where the finals should be. They should have just moved the finals to Austin. And then the traffic would suck, but at least people could stay downtown and get to the arena by walking. And what can I say? Things would not be terrible. That's really the big differential there. San Antonio's – I love Texas, man, but I hate San Antonio. This place sucks.
Wow, I've never been to San Antonio, so I can't defend nor confirm these accusations. But I feel like I feel like a lot of people are complaining, and that's the thing is you mentioned this I think yesterday, and I've heard it from a lot of other people. Like, media members hate South Florida, like they hate South Florida, and yet right now they're all clamoring. They're like, God, we wish we were in South Florida right now instead of San Antonio.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really weird. Like, guys that are always like, they hate, like, the weather and all this stuff. They hate basically everything about South Florida. And yet here, I've heard several people, like, one guy specifically said to me, can we just go back to Miami? Everything ran smoothly. They didn't have internet at the end. Part of it, I understand, and people are, like, are getting on me, and they're saying, you get to cover the finals. Shut up.
Right.
And I'm receptive to that. This is not really a job. I'm receptive to that idea. I work very hard at this non-job I have, but it's still not a real job. And I'm very lucky to be in this position. It's just – it's when you see things and they run smoothly and there's transportation, everybody's able to get in and out of the arena and everything works, and then you go here and the starting point guard and starting power forward are 45 minutes late
sure.
to get to the arena because traffic is so messed up.
Right. There was a high school graduation going on.
Yeah, to be fair, you know, how are you going to plan for that? And then there's no internet in 2013 when all of us work on the web.
Right.
It's a little bit of an issue. But, you know, these finals, I've been actually entertained by the game play regardless, even though they've been blowouts. I've still been kind of entertained by the play.
Well, that's been the fun thing is, like, in game two – Miami goes on that insane run, and it was fun. Like, yeah, it ended up being a blowout, but, like, just the environment, it was so fun. It was such a crazy stretch of basketball that where you just, like, you know, your jaw was dropped. You're just shaking your head. And then the game three blowout, I felt the exact same thing just because Danny Green was so hot. Gary Neal was so hot from outside. Like, they shot so well that you were shaking your head the whole time. Like, I can't believe this. Like, normally, teams down 36, you don't care anymore. Like, you just don't care. But they were shooting so well that you wanted more of it. It's rare that those blowouts provide you with that feeling of, like, God, I wish this would keep going just to see what happens.
I'm hopeful that'll happen. I'll tell you, I'm starting to – no, I won't even say that. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm as concerned as anybody about the Heat. Cooper Moorhead, who's very good, writes for Heat.com, maintains consistently that when this team tries, they are better than everybody else, and that's really what determines things. I wrote a blistering thing on the Heat. I hadn't really blasted the Heat in a while. It was kind of weird to get back to something I'd done so often over the past 2 years, and I just really opened up a can and let my frustrations about San Antonio out on Miami for talking about – because yesterday, that's all they would talk about. We just didn't give good effort. It was really embarrassing. We just got to try harder. And I'm like, you're in the finals!
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how many of those are just canned responses from them and how many of them actually believe it, or they just believe – or is it easier to say we didn't give good effort instead of they kicked the crap out of us because they were just better?
Yeah, and that's the question. I will say – I mean, I went to Spoelstra yesterday and today to try and dig something out and really listen to see if there – and he was adamant that it really was an effort thing. That's why he was so mad after game three, is that it really was an effort thing. And that's – they seem to genuinely believe it, because, I mean, I'm throwing softball X's and O's questions trying to get a bite on anything.
Right.
And to a man, the Heat were adamant. We just did not play well. We just did not give good effort. We just did not try hard enough.
Well, and I mean, as a coach, I feel like that's the go-to way to motivate your team. It's not like, hey, we need to adjust this or we need to get this guy free. It's you guys didn't try hard enough. Like you guys gave up. You guys weren't good enough. You guys, that like if you had tried, it would have been okay. And I think that's a way of like challenging someone's manhood or competitive drive or whatever you want to call it without actually like insulting them, if that makes sense. Like there's some coaches that will come out and insult their players, but there's also the coaches that will be like, hey, you guys weren't capable of trying on that sequence, and that's why you lost, like because you didn't try, because you didn't have the heart to try, kind of thing.
Part of it with me is I felt like the Heat had to keep them out of their comfort zone.
Sure.
And now that they've gotten into it, can they get them back out of it?
That's a hell of a question.
Because they didn't have, that was part of the underwritten thing. And amongst the things that have me rethinking a lot of the series is San Antonio played very poorly in games one and two and came out with a split. And after game two, it felt like, well, okay, maybe that's just an outlier and now things will exert itself. But now it's like, look, Spurs have an advantage because they didn't play well in game one and they still got the win. They didn't play well overall in the first few games in Miami and still got the split. So if they do play well, that's good for at least another win. And now you're talking gotta win four or gotta win three out of four.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also if the Heat come back and win tonight,
Everything changes.
yeah, you're back at 2-2, and it's different with the 2-3-2 format, but I still think your goal should be worst case scenario, you come out with a 2-2 split after four, even though you have one more game left, right away in San Antonio. If you're the Heat, obviously you want to be up 3-1 or 4-0 or whatever, but really, you're just looking to maintain your home court advantage, and getting it back to Miami is the only way to do that. Even if you're down 3-2, you still, you have home court advantage. The rest of the games are at home. Like, your goal needs to be, worst case scenario, you're 2-2, or you get out of there 3-2. Obviously, I mean, you definitely have to get out of there, but not to give really in-depth analysis. You don't want to lose the series in San Antonio. You don't want to
Yeah,
lose in
your
five.
worst case scenario is you lose four games.
Maybe I should have saved that one for a book, but I'll just throw that out there. But that, I mean, they win t
Closers lose four games.
they win. You win tonight, and all of a sudden we do this swing. I mean, this is how it's been the entire playoffs with the Heat. Is like they lose a game, the world's over. They win a game, they're champions again. And it's and I'm I've fallen into the same thing. Right now, I don't feel great about them, but I'm trying to maintain some perspective of, yeah, they win tonight. You gotta like their chances again.
Right? It's like if they lose tonight, it's like doomsday. The world has ended. Everything is over. They are the chokers again.
Right.
Disaster. They win again. Oh, things are pretty good for them.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm just like, you don't expect the Spurs to lose the last three games of the series. Like if the Spurs go up 3-1, it's not guaranteed, but it's all but guaranteed that they're going to win the series. If it's 2-2, then you start thinking, hey, anybody's got a chance here.
The Nets have a chance here.
Bucks in six.
Bucks in six. I thought it was interesting. I noted this in a very long column I wrote today on CBSSports.com talking about. I noted that LeBron's comments yesterday in practice, after practice, or I guess before practice, talking about where he said, I played like. I guess we can get away with that, maybe.
Yeah, why not? You didn't say it, and
Played like
it's a direct quote, right?
ish.
I think the explicit. I think I can turn on the explicit content button. I think that'll happen. I don't know if we have to
Now
do
we need
that.
to edit that out. But anyway, played like expletive.
Played like guano.
He wouldn't have said that in 2011. He would have said, well, it's a team game. We all have to play better.
Yeah.
James was very adamant yesterday saying, I've got to play better. I didn't play well. This is on me.
Yeah, and I mean, I do love his perspective, and he said it happened after they lost to Dallas, of where it's just, hey, this is just basketball. Like, I just want to have fun. This is just basketball. Now, I don't believe that is his sole perspective. Like, he wants to be great. He wants to win championships. He wants to, you know, go down as the greatest player ever or in the conversation or whatever. Like, any competitor would want that. And he has a legitimate chance at being in that conversation with, you know, a couple more titles. And so that's clearly what he wants, but you do have to maintain the perspective of, hey, whether I win or lose, I still have an awesome life. And, you know, he said it in kind of a prickish way after 2011, but there's truth to that. Like, he does have an awesome life. He does have all these opportunities. He does have all this money. He does get to play the game that he loves for a living and be successful at it, relative to, you know, certain standards. And I think that helps calm him to be able to recognize that, hey, this is on me. I screwed up. I'm playing like guano. I'm playing horribly. You know, like, this is that, it allows him that perspective, which is key, because then he's not running away from culpability, right?
Yeah, it's almost like if he's accepting responsibility for something that he thinks is a failure, he does it very well. It's when he tries to accept failure or responsibility for stuff that we think he's failed at, he gets resentful.
Yes.
And he doesn't play well from a place of resentfulness, but he does play well from a place of responsibility. The other interesting thing, I've always said, I don't, when everyone's like, oh, they made Kobe mad, I actually think it's a good thing to get Kobe angry. He just starts shooting. He just shoots. Him and Melo, they get angry, and they just start chucking. And if you look in the games I can remember, when that's happened, he tends to take it a little too far. James, on the other hand, is one of the few players I do look at and go, you don't want to make him mad. Duncan's another one. When Duncan gets, like, Duncan was pissed at in game two or game three to start that game.
Yeah.
He was mad. Now it faded, but for the first little while, like, Duncan's in a bad place emotionally right now. I bet his house is not fun to be around. It's empty, but I bet it's not fun to be around right now because he seems really frustrated and upset with how he's playing, as well as he's obviously has some personal stuff going on, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, but I think that's, I would imagine that's the crux of it all.
Probably part of it, yeah. It's probably part of it. I don't think Parker's injury actually is going to be a big determining factor in Game 4.
Ah, I think it'll be fine. He's ready to go.
Four times he said that this morning. And they asked, I do like one reporter, Mike Monroe, so Tony Parker, shoot around. They said, Tony, what's the update on your condition? I feel ready to go. And then somebody said, when you went through shoot around, did you notice it? Was it, you know, limiting you? I feel ready to go. Somebody said, do you think that the Heat are probably going to try and test you on that hamstring? I feel ready to go. And there's like kind of a pause, and Mike Monroe says, so Tony, do you feel ready to go? And everyone kind of started laughing. And then they started feeding him like cliches. They're like, let me guess, 110%? He's like, yep, 110%. Just trying to take it one game at a time. But so at least they're self-aware, which is nice.
I think he'll be fine. I think that, as we've seen, they need him to be able to be aggressive and not turn the ball over, but they don't need him to break down a player every time down the floor. You know, like, they're
running a lot of ISO with him.
Yeah, their passing does that. Like, he needs to be able to come around screens and stuff, but for the most part, they're not asking him to be J.R. Smith, right?
Right.
Defensively, that'll be interesting, though, because can he keep up with Chalmers fading to the corner and stuff? Like, you might see their defense suffer a little bit from it.
Part of it with me is, well, the Heat have already lost to Gary Neal, Danny Green, and Kawhi Leonard. Why can't they lose to Corey Joseph, DeJuan Blair, and Nando DiColo? Let's see how far this can go.
I mean, I don't think they're going to start Juwan Howard tonight. I believe LeBron is active for the game. I know it's not official yet, but I think maybe the DeJuan Blair side of this is a little extreme.
Talking to Corey Joseph last night, that kid is just so happy to be here. He's 21 years old and is playing not significant, but at least noticeable minutes in the NBA Finals. And it's just like, everything is awesome. This is great, man. It was kind of adorable, not going to lie. It's a little bit adorable watching Corey Joseph.
Oh, he should be happy. I mean, I don't think he's – I think he – no, that I'm not going to even hedge that. Like, I don't think he's good. Like, I don't think he's a good NBA player, but he gets to play in the NBA Finals. That, like, as a young guy, that's really cool.
He had 4 assists, and I assume they were all in garbage time. He was actually a big part of the massive run to break it open. He was one. It wasn't creating it. He was just the guy making the extra pass.
Yeah. And he just happened to throw it into a volcano every time.
Yeah, exactly. LeBron's defense on Kawhi Leonard has been poo.
I'm not concerned about his defense on Kawhi Leonard. I'm just concerned about the offensive rebounding. That's really, like, LeBron's averaging 12 rebounds a game, and that's, you know, great. Those look like great numbers. But he's given up a lot of offensive boards to Kawhi, and I'm like, if Kawhi's going to shoot and if Kawhi's going to try to score, fantastic. Like, he's not a scorer, and he's not a guy that can really hurt you. He can hurt, you know, he can make big shots, but he's not a guy that is going to consistently hurt you. So the defense isn't a huge concern there for me, but the fact that he doesn't appear to believe Kawhi Leonard is going to crash the offensive boards seems like a mistake, because Kawhi is keeping a lot of stuff alive, which has helped them score.
Here's my thing, because the Heat won't give me anything, what adjustments should Miami make going into game 4? What should they do? Let's start with Mike Miller. There's talk this morning that they're going to start Mike Miller, which I think is a horrible idea.
No, I think it's fine. I mean, you spread the floor with shooters. Like, that's the key is they need space. And
Udonis has done so good of a job on Duncan.
Sure. I mean, it doesn't mean Haslam's not going to play, right? I mean, if you get Duncan, here's the thing. It's kind of like a psychological thing. It's like, if you get them going to Duncan early because Haslam isn't in the game, then you don't have their shooters going early, right?
Right. You'll live with them scoring 1.0 points per possession. It's 1.3 is when you start to get killed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like I feel like at this point after last game, you're like, hey, give it up 2 points every time down. It doesn't seem like a bad idea.
It's fine.
It seems like, okay. That's progress. I think that the key is, you know, they talked about defense or whatever. Some of that was just two guys in an amazing rhythm at the same time. And that happens. And there's nothing you can really do about that. Like, yeah, they can play better defense, but a lot of that was just, you know, guys taking advantage of opportunities. It's unlikely that that's going to happen again, or at least in back-to-back games. And so I think you have to figure out, all right, yes, we sucked on defense, but we also sucked on offense. How do we fix that? We need spacing. LeBron needs spacing to drive. I think everything you do to start out the game has to be getting LeBron going and get him out of the facilitator role. And let that come second nature. Like, I know he likes to get guys going early, but early on you have to remind him, like, hey, by the way, you could drop 35 tonight in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And so I think that maybe if they do end up going with Miller, I think that kind of, even though it gives him another weapon to pass to, it should create enough space to where he can feel comfortable attacking the Spurs defense, if that makes sense.
Those of you listening to this right now, go to cbssports.com/NBA, find Zach's column. He wrote this morning about LeBron's reckoning and wanting him to go down shooting and the ridiculousness of the narratives around him and just everything. It was fantastic.
Thank you. I woke up this morning and it was like just in my head immediately. Because you think like, all right, this isn't an elimination game for the Heat, but like we just talked about a couple minutes ago, it's kind of an elimination game. Like, it's if they go down 3-1, this thing's kind of over. I would put it at like 95% over. Yep. And you had that situation last year, almost exactly a year ago, with LeBron in game 6 against the Celtics. Celtics up 3-2. LeBron goes just stupid Nova mode. Like, just stupid. Like, hitting great shots, hitting horrible shots. Like, he hit everything. I think he went like, I don't know, 14 of 19 on jumpers or something ridiculous like that. And dropped 45 points, dropped 15 rebounds, was just ridiculous. He had like this very serious look on his face the entire time. And I think everyone kind of realized, like, it might be easy to think this in retrospect, but I think kind of at the time, everyone realized, like, uh-oh. Like, here, like, there's the turn. There is the turn in his career. And he did it. Like, he took them out the next game. He took out the Thunder in 5 games.
Now we're back here.
Yeah, exactly. He won a gold medal. And he was at that point even through the Eastern Conference Finals. We were fine. Like, it was LeBron doesn't have enough help. These guys, no one's doing enough to help him.
The big two, yeah. The big one.
Yeah, the big one. And then it was, you know, the jokes about, like, oh, did he have as much help in Cleveland, like, which was stupid, but it was still like a fun, you know, kind of an apropos joke with the way Dwayne Wade's knee is and everything. And then these 3 games, it's been, it's been that hesitant LeBron where you can see he's overthinking everything. And I think that's where you look and you're like, look at that game a year ago where you just seemed to stop thinking and just destroyed. Like, you just went into destroyer mode. That's what I want to see from tonight. Like, whether they win or lose, I just want to see him play that way because I just think the game is in a better place when he does.
He's in destroyer mode, and all I can think about is from Clerks with the guy singing Berserker. That's what I think of for some reason. And just like, I want Juwan Howard in LeBron's ear. Do you want to beat the Spurs, Berserker?
Juwan Howard better have a hell of a halftime speech ready.
Yeah, man. You know, I went for the X's and O's, like I do. I went for like the X's and O's angle, even though I don't pretend. I've tried very hard to be like, I don't know about this. This is just kind of what I see. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, please. I try to go for, because to me, the man zone hybrid that they're running, I talked a lot about this with guys around in the media and anybody I could get my hands on to talk about with.
I love the idea of you just walking through the arena, grabbing someone by the lapels, and like, "Hey, what do you think of this?"
And like I can't control the sound of my voice, like the volume of my voice. Like, do you know anything about the man zone hybrid? There's security. We got a crazy man screaming something about man zone hybrid.
I have a credential. I'm fine.
Yeah, security. Louis C.K. is in the building. Apparently, he's on drugs.
We don't understand the bit. We don't get what's going on here.
Ray Allen kind of went into it. He said, well, they're overloading, essentially, on whatever side LeBron or Wade is on. And we've got to get off-ball movement in order to shake them loose, get open shots for
absolutely.
Us. And but here's an interesting one that I could have made more out of but didn't feel the need to – I can only do so many narrative flame fannings a day.
Yeah.
And I did the Danny Green, is Wade, you know, is LeBron stopping himself? Is Wade no longer the player he used to be? And that was it for yesterday. But Danny Green or Ray said, LeBron has to let us help him.
Yeah.
Which was an interesting kind of thing about when you combine that with Wade's comments about not wanting to be shut out, and there's a lot of talk about how Wade – Brian Windhorst of ESPN has talked about this, and he knows a team really well about how Wade's not necessarily happy with the number of shots he's getting. Now, I have no idea how that could be in the finals because they're basically running all the offense through him in the first quarter.
Right.
But, you know, you combine those things, and you kind of have a team that seems like it's a little bit off. So
– maybe the halftime speech should just be them popping in the first quarter tape of Wade's shots and be like, really? You think you need more?
Right?
Really? This looks like a good plan to you?
I want the halftime speech to be Mario Chalmers.
Just he gets three words into it. They just all start yelling at him, get fired up from yelling at him, and run out of the tunnel ready to destroy.
Shut up, Rio. God, so short.
He's like, I'm 6'1". No, you're short.
Shit. Jayhawks is a stupid name for a school. That shot wasn't that good. That's the meanest thing you could ever tell him.
It was like terrible defense. I agree with Ray. I think that the problem is they do too much standing around. Like when LeBron has the ball, and especially in game three, it was just too much, and then he's not moving with it, they're not moving around it, and it's like the man zone hybrid just seems too easy to run for the defense. It's like they don't have to do anything. They don't have to worry about off ball movement. They don't have to worry about the guy attacking with the ball. Like it's just hey, we'll stay right here and let's just concentrate on collecting the rebound. And when that's the case, it's like some flares to the corner, some off ball picks to bring a guy around a curl. That's how you get LeBron. Like, once you get the defense worried about their peripheries, like, then LeBron can really attack. And then he gets into a space and he can either score or he can pass, and you've got guys moving, and that gets them into a better rhythm for shooting and stuff. And, like, Mike Miller's the only guy right now who can stand around for 20 seconds on the clock and then knock down a shot.
Yeah.
And that's not a recipe for success against, you know, one of the best defenses in the league.
I thought the Bosch Thursday or Wednesday and said, you know, I was trying to talk to him about the defensive problems because I was really leaning towards offense and they only want to talk about defense. I was like, all right, let's talk about defense. And he said, well, you know, we make the first initial mistake, and then our effort wasn't good enough to recover on the mistakes after that. And so I was like, oh, okay. And so I went to Spolstra and fed him that quote this morning and was like, surely he'll tell me about what those initial mistakes are. And Spolstra was just like, everything. Everything was terrible.
Wow.
Like, he's like, I don't know. He's like, I'm sorry. I just don't know where to start. We did everything wrong. I have never seen Spolstra this level of what the hell. He is... I don't know whether he has the authority in that locker room to yell, but if he does, that locker room post game after game three must have been pretty amazing.
Oh, with the mood he was in after that game, like, I guarantee there was some yelling.
Three of them said we got what we deserved yesterday. They said coach was right, we got what we deserved.
Yeah, I bet he showed them the tape and they were like, oh.
Oh, they Bosch opened up and said, we just got done watching film and it was like a horror movie.
Yeah.
And then I asked Chalmers, I was like, what was the tone during the film session? He's like, there wasn't really a tone. Everyone was silent. I was like, damn. I asked Ray, and Ray, of course, was like, man, I've been in the league a long time. It was a film session. I'm going to have another one. It was fine.
Right. He's been in the league, what, like 17 years now? 16, 17 years.
Since
like
1947. Yeah, the last time he lost back-to-back games.
Right. I think that you asking Spolstra and him saying everything was terrible reminds me of, like, every once in a while, my lady friend will be cooking dinner. She'll be like, hey, could you help me? Like, could you, like, skin the yams or, you know, peel the yams or something? And I'll just, like, go super dramatic and be like, oh, my God, this is the worst day of my life. And she'll just always go, wow, that's something.
That's how I felt down here, not gonna lie. A little bit. Today especially when my laptop died, this has been like I had that moment where I was like driving and it started raining, and it's rained on me twice in Texas. And I'm like, God, what is happening? And then I realized just how completely, desperately pathetic I sounded. you're in a rental car in Texas after having to buy a new laptop, which you have the money to kind of afford. You know, you're staying at a decent hotel.
Yeah.
Covering the NBA finals. Shut up and go work. I do have to tell you this. We'll get to more basketball, but I have to share this with you. So I've tried – you saw me in Miami where I basically gorged on all the wonderful food that's down there.
Yes.
I came to San Antonio and made a concerted effort to eat healthier. I've actually had only one meal that wasn't salad.
Okay.
Since I got here, I've been eating nothing but salads. And – I got tacos at a small local Mexican restaurant called La Fogata, which was excellent, by the way. Tacos al pastor were fantastic. But I developed some sort of weird addiction / vice here, which is I went to Target to pick up some stuff because I was like, well, I'm going to be in the room for a week. Let's actually get some supplies.
Right.
I guess I'm getting like starter logs and whatever. It's like I'm camping out in this Marriott. But, and then I saw the gummy bears. And I just couldn't resist. I got one, and then I went back the other night to get some detergent, and I got like another two bags. So anyway, this table that I have like this desk that's too high and a chair that's too small, but there's like a second table that goes with it. So I pulled the table out and made that into like my makeshift kind of place.
Okay.
And today was like the first. I don't like the maid service to come in because I'm kind of like, I don't really make that much of a mess. I don't need fresh sheets every day. It's fine. But they came in today, and this table was full up with like nothing but like Red Bull, which is also the other vice I have, gummy bears, and like all of my books and all this crap. They touched like nothing in this room. You could tell they walked in and were like, good God, this guy is like not even living. They took out the one bag of trash I had collected, and that was it. Just, we're not even going to mess with this. Just have a nice day, sir. You and your filth can wallow. This table just looks like a disaster. I'm just staring at this pile.
I like the idea of them just walking in and just going, no.
No,
nope, not today.
Not doing this, blogger man. This is not happening. Everyone here thinks I work for one of the teams.
Okay.
They see the credential and they're like, "Oh, is Tony gonna play tonight?" I'm not on the coaching staff. Like,
that's where you should just start spreading wild rumors.
Manu's gonorrhea is acting up tonight. I don't know if he's gonna make it. You want to talk Jason Kidd?
Yeah, let's do that. What's your pick for tonight?
I'm thinking.
I'm going Heat by 11.
Wow.
They every time they lose over the last, like, I don't know, 47 years, they come back and win by double digits every time. Going Heat by 11, just because of that fact. Just because that streak will never get broken.
Which way do I want to jinx it? So,
do you want to go home early, or do you
want exactly? Do I want to go home early, or do I want to not have to deal with the LeBron stuff? I'll go. I love my kid, but Spurs by 5.
Spurs by 5. Okay.
I guess because at this point I feel when you look at Spoelstra going to changing his lineup. The fact that I don't know if LeBron really can figure out this man's own thing.
Yeah.
The offensive rebounding, Kawhi's effort, Danny's shooting, the fact they won't play Battier, which I continue to think is a problem, Wade's health. Yeah, I'll go Spurs by 5. No, I'll go Spurs by 7. I'll bump it up.
Oh, potential blowout. What's interesting is that the Spurs were the second worst offensive rebounding team in the league this year.
Yep.
And yet are just murdering the Heat on the offensive boards.
That's about right. It sounds like about what they do. So Jason Kidd's a coach. That's weird.
He is. He had a press conference today, introduced, getting a 4-year deal, 3 guaranteed. I don't know. I have no, much like the Mark Jackson thing, I have no feelings. I feel like it could be good, it could be bad. The thing is, you don't know because you don't know what system he has. You don't know what his coaching staff's going to be. You don't know what his philosophy is. Like, someone asked him about his vision, essentially. He said, the vision is to win. I was like, well, that's fascinating. that's a mama there goes that man for you.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I don't like it. It's not that I don't think he can be successful. It's that I don't like the process. I don't like the conceptual approach. To me, this is... What's going to look good on a t-shirt? This is more of that Brooklyn crap.
Here's the thing that I do like about it is he talked about it in the press conference. He said, you know, playing against him last year, and I'm paraphrasing here, but playing against him last year, I noticed that, like, they would get to 89, 90 points and kind of unplug and forget about Brooke. And, you know, I want to keep them going, like, keep them pushing. And I do think that, like, he is inexperienced in terms of coaching, but he has been, you know, point guards are essentially coaches after, like, 4 or 5 years in the league. Like, they're running everything on the floor. They're the middleman between the coach and the play that happens. Like, they have a lot of responsibility. So I tend to think, like, point guards can think their way into coaching a lot easier. And the fact that it is so recent that he was just game planning against them, I think can help them immensely. And it's not going to be anything that other teams don't really know about them, but it's getting them to realize the faults in themselves and what they do poorly, because he can say, look, I was trying to get you guys to do this last year because we knew it would work against you. I think there is some validation in the hire with that, because he is a very smart player. He was very successful as a player. He knows how to kind of figure out, like, hey, this is what we would do to beat you, so this is what we're going to try to prevent from happening. I don't know if it'll work, but along those lines, I like it.
I like it from one thing, which is, you know, that he's going to be, you know, at least to some degree, respectful of Darren will be respectful of him.
For now.
I think so in general. I think that Darren has too much respect for him from the two. Like, he's like the one. He's the one coach Darren can't kill. You know, it's like an action movie where the person is sent to, like, track down the old girlfriend or something. Like, what do you do? What does an assassin do when he can't kill his target?
It's some kind of, like, brainwashing where he picks up the gun and it just starts shaking. He can't pull the trigger.
Can't do it. It's like Demolition Man is what you're describing here.
Exactly. What I'm saying is Brook Lopez eats a Taco Bell.
Is there anything else is there any news that we need to talk about?
No, I don't. There's never. The Pacers want to re-sign David West. Shocker. and he wants to resign with
Bold them. Bold move, Cotton. Let's see if this plays out for them.
I did like I wrote the newser about that today, and I am curious about like I would love to know how the negotiation process is going to go now because there is no leverage. It's David West says, yeah, I absolutely like I would be expletive dumb to want to leave this team, and they're saying, oh yeah, he's our top priority. Like we want him back definitely. It's like if you're the agent, what do you do?
Right?
Like it's like, hey, you know the Rockets are offering. They're like, yeah, we're sure they are. Like let's get back down to negotiations here.
It feels like David's just gonna be like, yes, okay, we're done. And then, like the agents prepped for like 7 hours for like a grueling negotiating session, and then it's just done.
David West shows up 10 minutes earlier to the meeting than his agent does, and the agent walks in and he's like, hey, I got this figured out for us. By the way, you're fired.
By the way, you're fired.
I negotiated this by myself.
Okay, so hopefully you and I'll talk tomorrow.
Assuming San Antonio doesn't swallow you whole.
Assuming San Antonio. And that's very possible. So, again, Texas, I love you. San Antonio, I want to like you.
No, you don't.
Be nicer. I'm not trying to be Chuck here. Just be nicer.
Yeah.
So, thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Matt.